For the past 3 years, the Science of Reading Star Awards have honored educators who are beacons of light, guiding their classrooms, schools, districts, and most importantly, students through transformations with literacy. Now join us as we honor this year's winners at a special celebration event, which will feature celebrity keynoters and past podcast guests. Mitchell Brookins.
2 years ago, one of my students as a school administrator came to me on the playground and he said, "Mr. Brookins, I want to be like the other kids." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Mr. Brookins, I want to learn how to read."
And Malcolm Mitchell.
When I scored a touchdown, they either probably put my name in a newspaper. People probably tell me good job all around town. But when I finished one book, no one ever said anything. So which one am I more likely to repeat?
Find out more information and register for the 2024 Science of Reading Star Awards Ceremony at amplify.com/Star Awards Celebrations. That's amplify.com/Star Awards Celebration, all one word.
These are challenging times, and we respect your unwavering commitment to your students. At Amplify, we are working especially hard to support you. And as we all grapple with what it means to focus on the science of reading in a new world of remote learning, we're committed to walking with you through the unknown. Welcome to Science of Reading, the podcast. I'm your host, Susan Lambert. Join us as we talk with experts to explore what it takes to develop joyful, confident, and capable readers. Well, hello, listeners. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you, the work you do for students every day, and your resilience during the first part of 2020. When we launched our first episode in October of last year, we had no idea how much our world would change. And here we are. You're still working the front lines, though it looks a bit different, and we're still here working to support your efforts. Yep, I did it. I used a wartime metaphor. But can we all stop doing that? Myself included. When we talk like that, it drops us right into a mindset of struggle, pain, hopelessness. And here at Science of Reading, the podcast, we're committed to confronting the realities and moving into tomorrow with hope. There's work yet to be done, but so much progress has been made in spite of some recent challenges, or maybe because of them. I'm not quite sure. When our first episode launched last year, we had no idea what it might become. Only hope that you would find it helpful to grow your knowledge and impact. And now, nearly 30 episodes in, we know that what we're providing is resonating with many. So thanks again for listening and spreading the word. Amazingly, we have listeners all across the world with hundreds of thousands of downloads and listeners doubling weekly, exceeding our wildest dreams in all in under a year. We're committed to making our topics relevant and supportive and keeping our focus on what it takes to ensure that all students are on a successful path to literacy. In this episode, we reflect on our first season, providing some highlights from a few of our most popular episodes. We'll also take some time to preview what's to come, at least for the first part of season two. If we've learned anything during 2020, we've learned that planning too far into the future doesn't always work. Rest assured, we're going to do our best to be both thoughtful and responsive. So what were we thinking last fall when we decided to jump into the world of podcasting? Well, we were probably all a little crazy. You know, in the world of you don't know what you don't know. And in retrospect, there was a lot we didn't know. But what we did know was that reading science was gaining national awareness, and the same kinds of conversations were starting to bubble up all over the place. What does the research show, and how do I make it work in my classroom? We knew that if we could just partner together with those that had a national voice, maybe we could reach more people and support more educators in their work of literacy. So many thanks to folks like Emily Hanford, who were talking about issues of low reading performance, ineffective instructional practices, and inequitable support for struggling readers in ways that people were taking notice. And we were thrilled that she was a guest early on. If you don't know about Emily Hanford and her reporting on this issue, you need to check out episode 3. We covered a lot last season, but our primary focus was to cover the foundations of literacy first, highlight what it takes to develop reading proficiency, and we wanted to start first with what we thought, at least at the time of our launch, needed more conversation. Background knowledge and vocabulary, critical elements of language development, are as important to reading as knowing how to decode words. And with her newly published book, The Knowledge Gap, Natalie Wexler was an obvious first choice. Listen to a bit of what she brought us in episode 1.
And so going back to just this idea then of background knowledge, what you're introducing in this book actually isn't new. And you say that, and we'll talk a little bit about why we think it's gone kind of crazy in the media now. But why do you think it's been so overlooked?
Well, I think, you know, it starts with a lot of the way teacher training is done and the kinds of things that you were just mentioning, and that knowledge is sort of devalued in institutions of, education, of teacher training. And I think that has to do with a divergence between schools of education and the rest of academia. They've developed along separate tracks, and so what cognitive psychologists on the same campus as the School of Education, what they have learned about the reading process and just the science of learning in general has not penetrated schools of education. So that's certainly one basic problem. But I think there is this widespread feeling that knowledge is going to be boring for kids, or maybe too difficult for young kids. And I think that, yes, it can be. I mean, you can make anything boring, but you can also make almost anything engaging, even for young children. And kids actually love to learn stuff. They love to feel like they're experts. It does wonders for their self-esteem, not to mention their chances of future success.
Of course, we didn't throw foundational skills, phonemic awareness, phonics fluency aside. Word recognition, lifting the words off the page, is also critical to reading proficiency. One of my very favorite episodes was with David and Meredith Lieben. Yes, the Liebens are leading experts in early literacy, who, by the way, learned the hard way. But they are also the most entertaining experts you'll ever talk with. My only regret is that I wasn't able to do this recording in person with coffee or something. If you haven't listened to episode 20, here's a great clip to spark your interest.
And as a result of our ignorance, we managed to achieve the lowest reading scores that year in the city when our children reached the second grade get the lowest reading scores in the city of New York. Which, as I've said, is really impressive. There's 1.2 million children in the city of New York and over 1,000 schools. So to get the lowest reading scores in a school in the city is not an easy thing to do. But we did, and we knew we were going on the wrong track. And one day, when we were working with a psychologist, because I guess that's what you do, when you get the lowest scores in the city of New York, you see a psychologist. But actually, it was a psychologist we were working with on school matters. But she happened to have a book right on the table by the couch where we were talking that was Beginning to Read by Marilyn Adams.
Which had just been published.
And I decided to read that book, which was a long, it's about 300 pages and it's fairly dense. But I have a degree in psychology, and my favorite course probably in all of my undergraduate years was experimental psychology, and Marilyn was an experimental psychologist.
I did not have that background, so I had to read the book twice since I was teaching in the early classrooms. So we absorbed it as deeply as we possibly could, and we understood then clearly that it is not a magic mystery how the brain learns to read an alphabetic language. There's tons known about it, and we were not at that point applying any of that to our children's experience in school. So we embarked on a radical overhaul.
We had the pleasure of also chatting with Carolyn Strom to talk about the simple view of reading and how she started to conceptualize a new metaphor to extend the process of learning to read in a broader way. Be sure to check out that episode. In about the time of the early episodes, we discovered that the Amplify published Learning to Read primers, or primers, had suddenly gone viral. If you haven't seen them, they're a series of two publications written simply and illustrated beautifully to describe what it takes to develop reading proficiency. You can find them and a lot more on Amplify's Literacy Hub. Be sure to check the show notes for that link. So, because the primers, or primers, were so popular, it made sense to invite the lead author, Lawrence Holt, to join us on an episode. Since so many of you loved them, we knew you'd love this episode. And you did. For those that haven't listened, it's a great single episode that describes what we mean by the science of reading. And it's worth a re-listen at the start of this school year, a reminder of what's important in developing young readers.
And so fast forward, you asked me about the primers too. A long time after that, I think we realized that there's a lot of new and exciting science in reading, as you've been covering on the podcast. And a lot of it, it has very practical applications. It's esoteric. And yet, there are very few places that teachers can go. They obviously don't have time to read all of the research. It's voluminous. Where do they go to get that up-to-date insight and be able to put it in practice in accessible terms? And there are some really great books. You've had some of the authors on. But we couldn't find something that was just quick and accessible. And so I started to work on that with a cast of thousands of researchers and designers, and you contributed to it, Susan, thank you. And that's how we wound up with trying to distill all of this into two really short books.
There were so many more episodes very focused on specific elements of both word recognition and language development, including a conversation with Tim Rosinski, a leading expert in fluency from Kent State University. We covered vocabulary with Freddie Hebert, who has long been exploring the topic of vocabulary and who is best known now as the founder of the Text Project. Other episodes covered broader concepts of reading science, including our conversations with Nancy Nelson from the Center on Teaching and Learning at the University of Oregon, Bruce McCandless, Stanford professor in the Graduate School of Education, and Dan Willingham, a professor from University of Virginia. And because literacy impacts content areas outside of English language arts, we also brought you an episode that linked evidence-based reading practices with science instruction. Our conversation with Jackie Barber from UC Berkeley's Lawrence Hall of Science is a must-listen. Here's a short clip where she talks about how she found literacy for a science cause.
It was about 20 years ago when reading instruction first began occupying the majority of every school day in elementary classrooms that we started seeing the unintended consequences of subjects like science and social studies all but disappearing from the school day, particularly in the lower grades. And in my work with schools, teachers in multiple districts said they were told by their principals to not worry about teaching science. Some told us that their principals were forbidding them to spend time on science until reading scores improve. Yes, it's true. My favorite, some of the science-loving teachers at more than one school that had been working with us said they had to sneak science teaching into their days.
Oh, my.
So we conducted some focus groups with teachers, including teachers who'd previously been teaching science in the elementary grades, and asked them what would they need in order to be able to teach more science. And the response we got was that any time spent doing science would need to do some work for them in helping their students learn to read and write. And it was around that time I reached out to P. David Pearson, a reading researcher who had just come to the University of California, Berkeley's Graduate School of Education as dean. I think it was about 2002. In any case, I asked him, cold, whether he would like to collaborate on thinking about what a combined science and literacy approach to teaching and learning would look like. And David is a fabulous guy. His immediate response was yes. And I believe he said a quote that haunt is the wrong word, more has been a theme for me over the years. And that is that literacy is a domain in search of content. And at the time, I really didn't know how right that was. But I was just happy to have a willing collaborator to help me take on the problem that elementary teachers weren't able to spend class time on science. And so David and I began a partnership that would last many years and launch me into a new space, the space of developing the opportunities for students to learn to read, write, and talk like scientists do.
Like all of you, we made some shifts in our focus due to COVID-19, shelter-at-home orders, and school closures. Of note is the episode with our very own Larry Berger, who in true form provided a hopeful perspective, a helpful point of view in response to the situation, along with some great resources. That episode, number 18, contains information about uncertainty that is still relevant. We've always believed that when all students have equal access to explicit and systematic instruction in the early years, it's just an issue of equity. What we've been learning is that there's so much more to ensuring all students receive good instruction, and there's so much more we need to highlight and to begin to shed a light on. Check out our early episode with Jasmine Lane, a high school teacher in Minneapolis, and Ernesto Ortiz, a principal in Pennsylvania. They both highlight the importance of science-based reading practices and equity. Then in episode 24, we talked with Sean Joseph, former director of schools in Metro Nashville Public Schools. He discusses his work advocating for equity in every district decision and what he calls the silent crisis in literacy instruction. It's a passionate episode that's more than worth a listen. Here's just a small clip. And did you make that shift because of that interaction with that young man?
Absolutely. I mean, it just angered me. I mean, until this day, we still see across this country a silent crisis with kids not being able to read on grade level, particularly and that focus in the early years, because what we see is those cumulative deficits build over time. So if we don't catch it early, it's almost never caught. And you have millions of children, in this country that have not been given a basic civil right, which is the right to read. So.
And you called it silent. Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, so when I was superintendent, for example, in the large urban district in the South, 3 out of 4 children in that district did not read on grade level by third grade. Hmm. Think about that. 3 out of 4 kids are not reading on grade level, and nobody was talking about it. Like there wasn't, it hadn't been a situation where there were years of people fighting and trying to figure out what they can do and prioritizing resources and rallying the community, informing parents, asking, what are the best practices to, eradicate this unfortunate situation in our community. It just went unnoticed, or it was just accepted that, some kids will get it, most kids won't. And that's just the way it is. And it baffles me. And this, like I said, this is my 24th year in education. And that is not uncharacteristic. You see study after study, report after report, indicating that literacy in America is a problem. But, there's been no national convening to say we're going to treat this as a, you know, a serious national problem, and let's find the resources that are needed to make sure we can solve the problem, because it is a problem that can be solved.
Wow, it was really an incredible first season, and thanks to all our guests who helped us all learn together. But don't think we front-loaded our first season with all the good stuff. Season 2 is already shaping up to be just as incredible. I'm really excited to share that our Season 2 launch episode is a conversation with Dr. LaTanya Goffney, superintendent of Aldine School District in Texas. You won't want to miss it. Her personal story and professional commitment will inspire you. I'm guessing it might even renew your commitment to literacy instruction focused on reading science, just like it did mine. It's just the kind of hopeful energy we all need right now. And this is just the start of our new season, full of important topics relevant to the work you do every day. Be sure to send us thoughts and ideas, and thanks again for being part of this important work. We're so grateful to our amazing guest today and to all of you making a difference in the lives of students every single day. Be sure to check the show notes for resource links from today's podcast, and we want to hear your stories and successes. Follow us on Facebook at Science of Reading the Community, or if you're looking to help implement the science of reading, send an email to sormatters@amplify.com. Tell us what guests you think we should book, or tell us about the research that really excites you. And be sure to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss an episode. Until next time, I'm Susan Lambert.